know that heaven has got your attention. You are going to pray. God is going to hear. God is going to answer. Things are going to happen according to the measure of your faith. His greatness is going to show forth. His goodness is going to be made manifest. His plans for your life are going to be revealed. And all the things that God has been working on your behalf, God is going to show you. Great and wondrous things, the peace of God is going to invade your heart, your mind, and your spirit. The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Your expectation and your hope is not founded on your abilities, but it is founded on the ability of the one who spoke you into existence, the one who owns cattle on a thousand hills, the one who says all the silver is his and all the gold is his, affirmed by the psalmist when he said the heavens are his throne, and indeed the earth is his footstool. The earth is his, and they that dwell therein, they belong to him. As we pray tonight, I want you just to keep this perspective. God is so high above the heavens, yet he is so near. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Even though he is the ruler over all, the one who has made even the earth his footstool, he is also closer than a brother. God is working certain things on your behalf. You may not see them at the moment. You may not understand them at the moment. But God is working things on your behalf. He is perfecting everything that concerns you. He is making sure that indeed all things are working together for your good. He is leading you and guiding you to an expected end that he ordained, that he does everything according to the counsel of his own will. That means he did not have to consult people pertaining to what he is going to do in your life or where he is going to set you, what he is going to open for you, what he is going to close for you. He does everything according to the counsel of his own will, according to his sovereign will. God will do. When he purposes to bless you, he will bless you. When he purposes to elevate you, he will elevate you, no matter what situations and circumstances you find yourself around. Somebody just say hallelujah before we begin to pray. Open up your mouth and just thank God. Just thank God for being God. Just thank God for being God. And sometimes we just need to have thanksgiving, just going in accordance with what Psalm 100 tells us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise changes our perspective and just gives us a heavenly perspective on certain things. That God is bigger than your adversity. God is bigger than your trial. God is bigger than your enemies. And God will work things on your behalf. He will fight for you. He has never lost a battle, and he does not intend to begin with you. I'm already beginning to get excited already by what I see God doing tonight. And I just want to come from this perspective. I'll give you some scriptures towards the end. But I want to come from this perspective that God will speak a word. And the word that God speaks will not return to him void. The things that God has declared that he is going to do, he is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. His promises are yes and amen. His word will accomplish. His word will prosper. His word will do exactly what he has ordained it to do. That's what God does. His promises are yes and amen. When he declares a word, God will not go back on his word, but God will do what he said he is going to do concerning you. And I'm saying those things from this particular perspective is just a thought that crossed our mind this past Saturday, just during our service. And the idea is that God has declared concerning all that your enemy is trying to do, He has declared that it will not work. He has declared not it will not work, but He has declared that it did not work. It hasn't worked. So the scripture tells us that there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. You stand on that word because God has declared it to be so, and you believe and you trust that your God will do what He said He's going to do. That's the first part of it, of our prayer tonight. The second part of our prayer tonight is going to focus on the idea that God is about to open certain doors over your life. Doors over your life. I know that I've spoken on this before. We prayed on this before. I've even written a book concerning this. But God has impressed on my spirit earlier this morning that there is a door that's about to open over your life. A door that is going to be so astounding and astonishing. It's a door that is literally going to change your life for the better. It's going to open, but we'll deliberate on that as we pray. Father, as we come into prayer tonight, we know that we are not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name that is above any other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come, O God, not in our own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, therefore it disqualifies us to stand before You, but we come in the righteousness of our kinsman Redeemer. We say, hear our prayer, O God, tonight. Attend to our supplication. We declare that God, You are God all by Yourself. There is nobody who is above You, nor is there anybody who is beside You. You are God all by Yourself. You are the one who saw this hour before the worlds were even formed. You gave it a purpose. There are things You ordained and destined to do in this hour. We want to come into alignment with those things, O God, and say, let our prayer be in alignment with the plans You ordained into this moment of prayer. We know that within ourselves, O God, we don't have the sense to know what we ought to pray for, know how we ought to pray. But You made provision, O God, by giving us Your Spirit to lead us and guide us. Therefore, Holy Spirit, we welcome You in our prayer. You are welcome here. Welcome into our atmosphere. We yield ourselves as willing vessels for You to pray in and to pray through. Holy Spirit, pray for us. Pray through us. Let our prayer be in alignment with the will of God, for You are the only one who knows the mind and the will of our God. Holy Spirit, we may be in different geographical locations, in different seasons of life, but You have the ability to bring us into one mind, into one spirit, and into one accord. Therefore, Holy Spirit, have Your way. Let our minds be one. Let our purpose be one. Let our intentions be one, that we may be in alignment with the one who ordained this hour of prayer. Lead us and guide us. And when everything is said and done, we will give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For Holy Spirit, You do not speak of Yourself, but You speak of the Son, and the Son speaks of the Father. We will give our God all the praise and all the glory. Father, I thank You that there is nobody who is bigger than You. There is nobody who is better than You. There is nobody who is greater than you. There is no situation that is better than you. There is no situation that is impossible for you. There is nothing that is hard for you to do, O God. You do all things, for all things are possible with you, O God. And if we believe, you are able to bring us even to that place where there is nothing that is impossible with us because we believe in you. God, I pray tonight that every situation that is standing before your people, it has a name and it is under your authority, under your power. God, you are the one who is able to speak a word and change and remove every obstacle. You are the one who is able to speak a word and change every situation and change every matter. We ask God tonight for there to be divine intervention and a divine interruption to a cycle that has been holding us hostage. We declare that God tonight there is a liberation and there is a liberty that is coming. For God, your word declares that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You are the one who said by the reason of the anointing, yokes are destroyed. You have the power to break every chain, to set the captives free, O God. We say, go forth, O God, tonight and break every chain. Break every chain. Break every limitation that has been imposed upon your people. For God, you are the one, like you did for Jabez, who enlarges our territory, who expands our area of influence. You are the one who causes the simple to become wise. You are the giver of wisdom. Let there be a release of wisdom upon your people. Your word says your people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Father, we are asking for a release of knowledge. And you said, O God, as we go through this earth, O God, wisdom is the principal thing. Yet, O God, you said with all our getting, we ought to get understanding. Release understanding, O God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Bring understanding to our minds, O God, of things that are before us that we do not understand. Situations and circumstances that we do not fully comprehend. God, you are able to bring understanding. You are able to bring discernment. You are able to bring wisdom. We say, God, release your wisdom that your people might be able to make sound judgments and sound decisions that are going to bring them to a place of prosperity, that are going to bring them to a place of strength, that are going to bring them to a place where they can execute that which ordained for them to do. And Father, I know that the things you have ordained for us to do in our lives cannot be done by our own strength, nor can they be done by our own wisdom, nor can they be done by our own understanding. Therefore, God, we ask for supernatural wisdom to be released upon your people. Supernatural wisdom that comes from you. Release, O God, the spirit of wisdom upon your sons and your daughters for them to be able to know, like that anointing that you put upon the sons of Issachar, to be able to discern the seasons and the times, O God. Let that anointing be released upon your people, not just for them to be able to discern the seasons and the times, but, O God, for them to be able to know what ought to be done in this hour. And as you are releasing that wisdom, as you are releasing that anointing, as you are engaging and bringing that gift, O God, to the forefront, O God, give them the resources that are required for them to be able to do what needs to be done. Father, your word declares that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, God, in executing the assignment you have given, in executing the things you have revealed to us by wisdom, we declare and we decree that fear will not hold us bound. Fear will not intimidate us. Fear will not allow us, O God, to stay in the place where we ought to be. But God, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, God, we are moving into dimensions you have called us into. We are going to do all that you have ordained for us to do. Fear has no authority. Fear has no power over us, O God. We are moving forward. We are not staying here, O God, because you have gone before us, O God. And we know that you have gone before us to bring down the mountains and raise up the valleys. You have already gone before us, O God, to make the crooked places straight, O God. Therefore, whatever obstacle stands in the way, God, you have already made a pathway for us to walk through. Our resources may be limited, but God, you bring provision for the vision that you have given. You bring the resources, O God, for all that you have called us into. Somebody say hallelujah for the resources that God has allotted for your life, what he has allotted for your assignment, for your calling, and for your purpose. One of the things we forget to thank God for in terms of the resources given unto us is that resource of power, of love, and of a sound mind that God has given us. It's a resource for us to use, because when we don't have those resources, we are more liable, we are more inclined to operate in fear and to be governed by fear. But God has given us the resource of wisdom. God has given us knowledge. God has given us understanding. And God says, I have given you that power, love, and of a sound mind for you to be able to go forth and do what you ought to do. I know that standing before you may be giants. Standing before you may be a Goliath standing before you. But I want to let you know that God has already gone before. I can preach now that I'm telling you, God has already gone before you to make the crooked place straight. That means God has already gone before you to establish a strategy that you are going to be able to use to defeat the Goliath that is standing before you. God has just in case you want to navigate that particular narrative and where I'm coming from, you have to understand that God is the one that placed the smooth stones that David was going to use to kill Goliath. God is the one who got David to pick up a sling and begin to exercise using the sling. You have to understand that it is God who made provision to give David boldness to walk into the camp and to inquire what ought to be given to the man who is going to defeat this giant. But I must go back in the narrative and let you know that it was by divine orchestration. Even though the children of Israel rebelled against God and his commandments and stepped into the tent to go and pick the Ark of the Covenant to enter into battle, the Ark was lost to the Philistines. But you and I have an explanation that has been given unto us by Paul in the book of Romans 8, verse number 28, when he said, for we know that all things work together for our good. They lost the Ark of the Covenant, but the Ark of the Covenant traveled through the land of the Philistines, and God dealt with their deity. God dealt with the gods of the Philistines, chopped off his head and his hands. And then God says, David, I need you to walk the path I already walked, that you are going to defeat everything that is coming out of the Philistines. God had already slain the giant, and say, now, David, I have already gone before you to make the crooked place straight. I have already dealt with the principality. I've already dealt with the power. So I'm saying to somebody here tonight, in the name of Jesus, the enemy is raising up a formidable foe against you, but God already went before you and made the crooked place straight. God already released a strategy for you to be able to contend and deal with whatever is standing before you. Just in case you did not know, God put it in writing, and he said, there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. That is what God has said. Why would God say that? God has already won the battle for you. He is waiting for you to walk through the path that he has established. And God is letting you know tonight that he has already dealt with your adversaries. He has already written the final chapter of that battle. He has already rendered the weapons of the enemy powerless against you. Therefore, stand now steadfast in the word of God, and stand on this promise that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The strategies of the enemy have been overruled by the divine decrees of God. The plans of the enemy have already been overwritten by the divine orchestrations and plans of God concerning your life. The enemy will not set the destiny for your life. He has no right, he has no authority to circumvent what God has set for your life. I pray that the God whose blessings make rich and add no sorrow is going to put his hand upon you. His blessings are coming into your life. I declare tonight that you are a child of Abraham. Like Joseph, you will find yourself in a strange land, and by the grace and the favor of God, your elevation will not be delayed. Your elevation will not be denied. You may be like Daniel, being taken from your place of birth into a strange land, but they do shut up. I feel like preaching tonight just to let somebody understand that the enemy may move, cause you to move your geographical location, but he cannot move you from your destiny. That the enemy tries to circumvent what God is intending to do, and as hard as he tries, he does not know that he is leading you into the place where God ordained to bless you. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus, you may feel that you have been moved from where you ought to be, but God is placing you to the place where you ought to be. So don't cry about where you are coming from, but thank God for where he has placed you, because that is your place of destiny. That is your place of elevation. That is your place of purpose. Remember, your God does not do things just for the sake of doing things. Your God is a divine strategist. Somebody said your God is the master strategist. God has been strategizing. God has laid out. He calls the end from the beginning, and he has ordained things that are going to happen. Oh, the scripture says the devil, had they known what was going to happen, they wouldn't have killed him. They wouldn't have crucified him. But they thought they were doing what they were doing, but they were not defeating the purposes and plans of God. God had already gone before and laid out everything. In the name of Jesus. Oh, can I go a little bit deeper? I feel the anointing rising in my life tonight, just to let somebody know that there was a woman caught in adultery, and they thought they would bring him before God, before the Son of God, laying a trap, but they did not know that their accusation and their plans were bringing that woman to a place of deliverance, a place of restoration. And I'm saying to you tonight, your God who works all things, your God who calls the end from the beginning, your God who is the Alpha and the Omega, your God who is the God of the valley and the God of the mountain, your God has already orchestrated a plan, taking into account what the enemy is going to do. They think they are bringing you to Oshakoti Karabaha. They think they are bringing you into a place of defeat, but they do not know that God is setting you up for a great victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasanda Bakenabushi Kiriyabaha. Sometimes you have to understand that adversity. That adversity can be used as a tool to mine a travail and a prayer, a tool to bring out a travail and a cry in you that's going to cause a breakthrough. Anybody hear me here? Somebody once said necessity is the mother of invention. Because if I had not been in pain, if I had been in a place of luxury and comfort, I would have never known that this groan will bring deliverance and salvation to a generation. I would have never known that this groan, this travail, this cry, this pain will birth a move of God in the nation. Therefore, the enemy came and pressed me on every side, and God allowed the pressing to come because there was a travail that God was looking for to give him an invitation to come into our bloodline. Oh, I hear the words of the psalmist cry out, "Open up ye gates, be ye opened, O ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may enter in." That my pain, my travail has become an invitation for the King of glory to come and traverse this bloodline and cleanse it of all iniquity and unrighteousness, that holiness and godliness might be established. Oh, that the enemy came, pressed me on every side, took everything that I valued, and he thought he was going to bring me to a place of just giving up. But he did not know that God has been using that to rearrange my priorities, to say, do not value of things, because the most valuable thing that you have is the relationship that you have with God. I may lose all money, I may lose all material things, but as long as I'm with God, as long as my heart is set on God, I know that it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that there are certain doors that we need to have opened in our lives, but we never cry out for those doors as long as we are in a place of comfort, as long as we are in a place of luxury? Who never cry out for those doors to come? Therefore, adversity will come, the rains will cease, the sun will shine brighter and cause us to be in derision and in sweat, that we are going to cry out unto God, "God, I have gone beyond my abilities and I cannot do this on my own. Oh God, now, God, I need you to open this door for me. The affliction has been great on me. God, I need you to move on my behalf, oh God, because of what I'm going through." To cry out, "God, can't you see me in heaven, oh God? I am in pain, oh God. My heart is filled with sorrow. God, can't you see my tears, oh God, from all that I've been through?" And because of that cry, God moves, and he stands from his throne and makes this declaration, "Behold, I open doors that no man can shut, and I shut doors that no man can open." And he says in the season, "I am going to open a door over your life, a door over your life, a door of blessing, a door of prosperity, a door of elevation from the cry." And I came tonight just to announce to somebody that there is a door of deliverance that's being opened over your bloodline, a door of deliverance being opened over your family, a door of deliverance being opened over your household in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of the Ancient of Days declares that the door of salvation is being opened over your household. A door of salvation is being opened over your household. A door of salvation, a door of salvation, a door of salvation is being opened over your household in the name of Jesus. A door of salvation, I say it again, a door of salvation is being opened over your household. Your sons and your daughters are coming in. Your grandchildren are coming in. Your great-grandchildren are coming in because the door of deliverance has been opened. The power that sin has in over your bloodline is being broken, being shattered in the name of Jesus. Altars that have been speaking in your life, speaking chaos, confusion, death, and poverty, they are being silenced because God is delivering. God is delivering. I pray for the grace of God to come over you, that you will experience the joy, the pleasure of walking through a door that God has opened, that you will see the blessings of God reigning. You will see salvation coming into your home. You will see your sons and your daughters prophesy. You will see them being anointed. You will see them being used by the Almighty God. Why? Because the door of salvation has been opened over your bloodline in the name of Jesus. A door of deliverance, a door of salvation. Now most of you are thinking, maybe is it a physical door? How do I know? All I'm just telling you is God opened up a door in time. God has opened up a door in time, a door in time, a door in time, a door in time. It has been opened, and you are walking through the door in the name of Jesus. You are walking through the door of deliverance in the name of Jesus. Can I just tell somebody here, God has credentialed you by the blood of Jesus to walk through the door that He has opened. You are qualified. You are accredited to walk through the door that God has opened, the door of deliverance. And He is saying, come in. He's calling you in. Walk through this door in the name of Jesus. Can somebody just tell God, I thank you for the door that you have opened. Tell God, I thank you. I thank you for the door of deliverance. I thank you for the door of deliverance. I feel this. I felt this today. That there is a door of deliverance open. There is a door of healing. There is a door of healing, 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 a door of healing opened in time, a door of healing opened in time. By the grace of God, we push you through the door of healing. We declare your healing is here. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it. And ushandaba korabaha. If I remember correctly, or I hope I'm right. If I remember correctly, they are intercessors on this prayer line. They are people that you are praying for on behalf of, or this prayer line. Don't just say, I receive it for me, but I receive it for them too. Oh God, a door of healing, a door of healing, a door of healing, a door of healing, a door of healing. I thank you, God, for being the one who opens doors that no man can shut. I thank you, God, for opening this door in time. I thank you, God, for the anointing. I thank you, God, for the blessing. I thank you, God, for the favor to walk through the door that you've opened in this season. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you praise, I give you glory for the door of healing. Ah, shombre ko do bro do ko bo shakarabaha, rekuraba shande woro goraba nigiriabaha, for the door of healing. Somebody just thank God for the door of healing. Thank God for the door of healing. Thank God for the door of healing.
Ashedo kura bahaya. Rendo basheri. My sande kuria bakatumbre kotota baha. The door of healing opened. Walk through it in the name of Jesus. Now some of you are thinking, well, I'm physically fit. I got no physical ailment. A door of healing goes beyond physical healing. It's a door of healing for your emotions, a door of healing for your inner thoughts, a door of healing for your relationships, a door of healing for you. Oh, kaboshe te kura baha, rebroto kura basombre gudushira baha. Through the door of healing, whatever is out of alignment, God is going to bring back into alignment. Whatever is broken, God is going to restore. All things are made new in the name of Jesus. Receive it for the praise and the glory of our Father in heaven. I told you that the door is open. That door is open. Ah, shombre, kumbre, kodo shida bambrondo kura bakade tikiabosh, makarabonde bria kodo boshanda bakarabahai. In the name of Jesus. Listen, you have to hear me well. God hears your heart. God sees your tears. God hears your cry. God knows where you are. God knows where He's taking you. God knows what it takes to get you where He wants you to get. And God is going to do whatever is necessary to get you there. I know that the enemy is going to do whatever he does to try to hinder you, but he cannot supersede the word that God has spoken. Healing is coming to you. Deliverance is coming to you. Salvation is coming to you. Why? Because the enemy cannot shut the door that God has opened. He cannot do that. He has no authority. He has no right. He does not have the strength to shut the door that God has opened. Receive it. In the name of Jesus, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Can I just go a little bit deeper? God is healing your finances. God is healing your finances. God is healing. Oh, karabashu kota pakuruti baha. Can I feel something moving. I feel something moving. Not only is God healing your finances. We spoke about deliverance. Oh, kudabaste to kuda baha. We spoke about a door of deliverance coming over you. A door of deliverance. That means God is breaking the yoke of debt of your life. A door of deliverance, a door of deliverance, a door of deliverance. I thank you, God, for the ideas that are coming as a methodology to bring the change, as a methodology. Ah, kura basombre toto shereka, rebronde be kura basande, mande broto sherekida baha, rebroto kura bakiria basande raba. Because God is bringing deliverance and salvation over your life. The door is opened. Now I want you to see something. I want you to see something. I'm almost done. But here's what I want you to see. When a door of deliverance is opened, there's always going to be an obstacle that stands in the way. There's always an obstacle that stands in the way to hinder you from walking into the fullness of all that God has ordained for you to receive through the door of deliverance. And you may say, what are you talking about? Let me give you an example. You see, God told Abraham that your posterity, your children, they are going to be in Egypt working as slaves for 400 years. It became 430 years with them being in captivity. And there were then, God said, rose up a deliverer by the name of Moses to say, I'm going to use him to write deliverance, to fulfill that which I spoke to Abraham, that I will bring them out of their captivity. I will bring them out of their captivity. As they were being brought out of their captivity, their past was trying to pursue them and keep them captive. Anybody hear me? Their past which means what God was trying to bring them out was pursuing to keep them in. Do you hear me? Ah, so good, Abaha. And as they were walking, they were marching forward, there was a Red Sea that was standing to hold them back. You are not going to pass through here. Ah, Adab, I hope you see what you hear what I'm saying. The enemy, whatever was holding you back, is pursuing you. Whatever is holding you back is pursuing you. And there is something that is standing in the way that is trying to establish a guarantee that whatever is pursuing you is going to catch up with you because you can no longer move forward. But I want you to see what God did. God established a demarcation, a division. That there was something that was established by God between what was pursuing them and them. Do you hear me? That there was a darkness, a pillar, that the armies of Pharaoh could not come closer. But God was saying, I am not going to allow you to stay here because I did not call you to die by the borders of the Red Sea. Then God commanded Moses to stretch forth his hand towards the waters, and the waters were parted. But if you read in Scripture, further, I think in the book of Psalms, you understand that it wasn't the road that caused the waters to part, but it was God's breath that divided the waters. So what I'm saying to you, even though your past is trying to pursue you, to keep you in captivity, God is bringing a separation between you and your past. And as you are going towards your future, something is standing in the way to hold you back. I can give you an example that just dropped in my spirit. Fear is holding you back. Fear is standing in the way of you walking through the door. Fear, and God is causing his breath to address that fear, and that fear is going to put its hands down, allow you to walk through into where God is leading you. You are walking through this door of deliverance. You are walking through this door of salvation, and there is nothing that the devil can do. There is nothing that the devil can set before you to hinder you from walking into what God has ordained for your life. For some of you, your past is telling you, you are not qualified. Your past is telling you, your grandfather was a bad man. Your past is telling you, you have made so many mistakes, you are not qualified. Your past is telling you, you don't have what it takes, but it's not by might nor by power. It's not by my own strength. It's not by my own ingenuity. It is not by my own know-how, but it is by the Spirit of the living God that I'm going to walk through the door of deliverance and the door of salvation that God has opened in time. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank God for the door of deliverance. Thank God for the door of salvation. It was actually about 9 o'clock this morning in the morning that word came into my spirit. A door of salvation, a door of deliverance has just been opened. It has been opened in time. Opened in time. And I've been wrestling with this throughout the course of the day. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? And I felt the more I meditated on that, the more I felt in my spirit that the door is opening in time. And you are all walking through. Watch this now. God did not just tell one man to walk through. He walked through with his entire family. They walked through the Red Sea together. And I thank God for the door of deliverance. I thank God for the door of salvation that has been opened over you. And God, the healing, the door of healing and restoration that has been opened, healing and restoration that has been opened, healing and restoration that has been opened, that God is releasing His grace. I hear the Word of God says healing is the children's bread. I speak that over you now in the name of Jesus. Speak it over you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak it over you right now. Healing, 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 healing. I speak it over you. Listen, your heart is broken. God will heal. Your emotions are torn up. God will heal. Your body is scarred. God will heal. Emotionally, you are wounded. God will heal. The enemy has done things to stunt your growth, but God is reversing the order of the enemy over your life. You are going to grow. The enemy has imposed an injunction over your life to say poverty will be your portion. But tonight we lift that injunction in the name of Jesus. And we declare prosperity. We declare elevation. We declare favor in the name of Jesus. That's one door that I also saw this morning. A door of prosperity. A door of prosperity. A door of prosperity. I speak the door of prosperity is open. 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 I don't really want to deliberate as to exactly what prosperity is entailing, but what I felt early in the morning today concerning the door of prosperity has to do with your finances. The door of prosperity is opening over your finances. It's opening, it's opening, it's opening, it's opening, it's opening, it's opening. Prosperity is coming. Prosperity is coming. Prosperity is coming. Prosperity is coming. I hear the scripture says, Lord, now send your prosperity. Now, Lord, send your prosperity. Now, Lord, send your prosperity. Now, Lord, send your prosperity. This is not the prosperity of man. This is the prosperity of God. And you know when God prospers you, you are prosperous indeed in the name of Jesus. So I sensed in my spirit the door of prosperity open. And when the door of prosperity opens, you got to understand, when the door of prosperity opens, it's not just a door that opens for you to have money coming from everywhere, but it is a door that opens and it brings witty inventions. It brings God ideas. It comes together with the spirit of creativity. It comes together with the spirit of wisdom. It comes together with the spirit of excellence. It comes together with the spirit and the favor of God. It comes together with the strength and the ability to be able to do what God has released into your spirit. And when that prosperity comes, the spirit of prosperity comes with prosperous relationships. The spirit of prosperity comes with wisdom, vision, insight, knowledge, hindsight, and foresight, because that's what God is going to use to prosper you. Sometimes God will give you a big idea that is going to only take a few days and a few things to flesh it out. But sometimes God will give you something in the form of a seed that you have to nurture, in the form of a seed that you have to develop, in the form of a seed that you have to grow. I want to say the day your door of prosperity is coming, I wish I could say you are going to be at rest, you are going to be at ease. But this door of prosperity is going to be calling for a high level of investment in terms of your effort, high level of investment in terms of your time and your application. If you apply those things, employ those things, invest your time, devote your energy, devote your effort, you are going to see the fullness of the seed that God has given you. Now, what I want to let you know is that the enemy is going to come and discourage you and say you don't have what it takes to nurture the seed. You don't have what it takes to nurture this idea. you don't have what it takes to facilitate this idea, remember, God will not give you a vision without provision. God will not ask you to go somewhere where He will not make a way. God is going to make a way. In fact, God is a master investor. God is giving you a seed, knowing that you are going to mature the seed and bring forth what God has ordained the seed to bring forth. Therefore, I pray that the voice of the enemy will be silenced. You have the ability, you have the capacity, you have what it takes to nurture that idea into a business that will sustain generations after you are long gone. In the name of Jesus, somebody say hallelujah for that thing. I gambo sheraba because ande kurabikura. God gives bread to the eater, but He gives a seed to the sower. The reason why God is giving you a seed is because He knows you know how to sow the seed. Sowing the seed is part of nurturing the seed. Can I just go a little bit deeper? I'm not talking about an offering. I'm just coming from the perspective of being a farmer. You understand that your responsibility when it comes to a seed is to find the appropriate environment, the appropriate time, the appropriate environment and time for you to sow the seed, that the seed can do what it needs to do to produce what God wants to produce. So, I love what the Holy Spirit does. Remember, I spoke about the anointing of Issachar, being able to discern the seasons and the times. And I'm saying God is giving you a seed that's going to be co-joined with the anointing of Issachar to be able to discern the season and the time and to be able to know what needs to be done. Therefore, God gives you the seed. Discern the season and the time and do what needs to be done. Sow the seed. Can I just change this for you a little bit and I'm done? I promise you I'm done. Remember I said sow the seed, right? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. But I want to change it for you briefly. Just this, allow me this, just for this prayer, I want to say sow into the seed. Sow yourself into the seed. Sow yourself into the seed. Sow yourself into the seed. That's the way you are going to sow the seed. Sow into the seed because that's the only way you are going to sow the seed. Oh, I hope you hear me. I hope you hear me here tonight. Sow yourself into the seed. That's the only way you are going to sow the seed. What are you saying, Perkins? Invest your time, invest your knowledge, invest your wisdom, develop your gift, develop your skills. I don't want to say develop your gift, but grow into your gift and do all the things that you ought to do as a seed, as a sower. And then as you are sowing yourself into the seed, you are sowing the seed into the proper environment. And you are going to see the prosperity that God has ordained to come forth from the seed that you have sown yourself into. Just as a recap, we thank God for opening a door of salvation. We thank God for opening the door of deliverance. We thank God for opening the door for healing. And we thank God for opening the door for prosperity. A door that has been opened in time. God has gone before you to make the crooked places straight, to bring down the mountains and raise up the valleys, like God did for the children of Israel. Your past is being separated from you. Whatever is standing in the way, the breath of God is going to breathe over it. Like the Red Sea, it has to divide. As you go where God is leading you, be mindful. Once again, He is already going before you to make the crooked places straight, like He did for David. When David came into battle with Goliath, David was walking a path that God already established. Scholars will say God was looking for somebody to act out in the natural what he had already done in the spirit concerning David and Goliath. Then, remember again, he's going before you to make the crooked places straight, bring down the mountains, and raise up the valleys. Men may move you from a geographical location, but they have no idea that they are leading you into the place of your destiny. They will move you from one geographical location to another, but they can never move you away from the destiny that God has ordained for you. Like Joseph, you may find yourself in a strange land, but that's the place where God said your destiny is going to come into its fullness. Like Daniel, you might find yourself in a strange land among strange people, but the plans of God for your life will not be defeated. I find it fascinating, just as a Bible scholar, that day when Daniel was recording his visitations and all his visions from God, they were not recorded whilst he was in Jerusalem, whilst he was in Israel, but they were all recorded whilst he was in the land of the Babylonians. And finally, this one thought that I think you ought to take and be mindful of. Jeremiah was writing a letter to all those who were in the captivity. There were false prophets had gone before to tell the people that the captivity was going to be broken soon. Shortly, it was going to come to an end. First year, second year, third year. Yet Jeremiah, the prophet of God, wrote a letter to the people that were in the captivity. And in his letter, this was one of the instructions. He said, pray for the cities where you are, that it might be well with you. Pray for the cities where you are, that it might be well with you, because you are going to be there for a long time. According to what God has said, the captivity will be 70 years and then it will be broken. So pray for the cities where you are, that it might be well with you. And I'm picking up all that, combining it with what Daniel was doing. Daniel was not only praying for Israel, for what they had done, but Daniel was also praying for Babylon, following the instruction given by the prophet Jeremiah. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also doing the same thing according to the letters of the prophet Jeremiah. I believe Ezekiel was doing the same thing according to the words of the prophet Jeremiah, because even though they were contemporaries, but Ezekiel was also part of the captivity. I believe that men like Ezra, they were doing the same thing whilst they were in captivity. Men like Nehemiah, they were doing the same thing whilst they were in captivity, according to what the word of the Lord had said by the prophet Jeremiah. Why? That it might be well with you in the cities where you are. And why do you say all this, Perkins? Because God is saying, you may be in a job where you don't want to be right now, and God is saying, pray for their peace, that it might be well with you. Pray for their prosperity, that it might be well with you. You may be in a neighborhood where you feel you don't belong, but God has positioned you there. Pray for that neighborhood, that it might be well with you. You may be in a state where you don't agree with the governmental structure. You don't agree with what is happening. But the Spirit of the Lord is saying, pray for the cities where you are, that it might be well with you. Pray for the state where you are, that it might also be well with you, that it might also be well with your children. You may be in a strange land, but that is the place of your destiny. Allow God to work. Allow God to operate. And guess what? I want to say this again, and I'm closing. What I want to say to you is this. I didn't say it's a door that has been opened in a geographical position or a geographical location. I say this is a door that has been opened in time. Where you are, it's a gate opened in time. So you may be in Chicago, it's a door opened in time. You may be in D.C., it's a door opened in time. You may be in Houston, it's a door opened in time. You may be in Mississippi, it's a door opened in time. You may be in Kentucky, it's a door opened in time. You may be in Florida, it's a door opened in time. You might be in Miami. It's a door opened in time. You may be in Pennsylvania. It's a door opened in time. You may be in Johannesburg. It's a door opened in time. You may be in Harare, Zimbabwe. It's a door opened in time. You may be in Taiwan. It's a door opened in time. You may be in Canada. It's a door opened in time. You may be in Amsterdam. It's a door opened in time. You may be in New Zealand. It's a door opened in time. Just walk through the door for the praise and the glory of our Father in heaven. It doesn't matter where you are. It is only a door opened in time. Walk through it. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.